So welcome, Sraravan, Dipti, all connected. Sometimes a bit blurred, sometimes very clear, but the connection is there, and we try to make the best of this live conversation with three remarkable women living and working already for a long time in Oroville. We welcome you all, and we are very happy that we have made this live connection. And I'm going to say a few words about these three remarkable women. We had presentations ready, but the quality of these presentations is not such that it makes sense to show them here. That material is available, and later people who want to listen very intently to the beauty of what they have been telling and sharing with us, we're welcome. But that will be done later. Now we try to have a live connection and make the best of it. But I want to tell for those who do not know the three women you see here. To our left, Sraravan. She has been in Oroville since 1970. And she hears us. Next to Sraravan is Dipti. She is from India since her 16th. Next to her is Margarita, originally from Colombia. Since 1988, it's in Oroville. Now, from the presentations, they have been sending to us. I have taken a few lines, which I think are very important. And I need to tell, there is a few, Sraravan and Dipti and Margarita. Everyone is waving and smiling at you.
Yes, we can see them. Thank you.
And we see that you realize that. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Now, Sraravan told us that it was important to introduce herself. She said, actually, my name, Sraravan, was given to me by the mother already in 1972. It's a Sanskrit name, and it means one who has Shraddha, one who has faith. And she studied English language and literature in Bristol in Britain. And actually, by chance, as she calls it, like many of us, by chance, get in touch with readings or speaking of Mother or Sri Aurobindo. And it drew her to Oroville. And she came in Oroville in November 1970. Right from that moment, she has been involved in educational activities. Some which she thought were really on her line, but most she felt like, who am I? She went through. And that's part of what Luigi also said. Actually, the love of the divine comes through your body. You have to do it. Not only sitting there and meditating. You have to take steps. And it requires courage. But then the grace will be there for every step. So what she has been asked after many years of working in a small school, in Aspiration, in 1994, now 16 years ago, 15, she was asked as one of the 40 people in Oroville who were asked to do so, to start or to launch a Savitri study circle. Savitri, an epic poem of Sri Aurobindo. Most of you know, those who do not really know, there are books there and you will be introduced to the book itself and also to Savitri readings as we organize them here in the Netherlands. But she started that Savitri study circle. And every Sunday morning they met with other Orvillians and dreamt of a Savitri Bhavan, the place where all the materials about Savitri, the readings, the interpretations, the inspiration could the archives would be ready. And this was realized in August 1999. There's a building called Savitri Bhavan, and a lot of activities take place. Sarvan told us that in the team in which he works, all are actually growing as by miracle. In fact, he says, we feel it by the grace and the sanction and the support of Sri Aurobindo and the Mother. It's a feedback reaction to that grace which comes, and it's a constant interaction. And that is the way she does the, and will do her yoga and facilitate the process in which we all can learn and benefit from that conducive atmosphere, a building, a place, a center, a warm home. What she said at last in her presentation is, I feel deeply grateful to the Mother and Sri Aurobindo for accepting me as their child and for giving me this work in Savitri Bhavan, which constantly challenges all my capacities and keeps me learning and growing in their light. And that serves maybe as a reminder, we are all on the same path. And what it looks like in the outside is one thing, and very important, but also what it looks like in our own life, our stumblings and next steps. We have another remark. She, in her presentation, she told us that actually, she, as a child, she always was not satisfied. She always wanted to ask more questions and was not satisfied with the answers she got. In 1972, her family, when she was 16 years old, she moved to Pondicherry with her father and mother, and more maybe in the family. And for the first time in 1972, on the 28th of February, at the Darshan, she was there, saw, experienced, felt the mother. And she told us in this presentation, this incredible silence, this incredible inspiration, it changed me. With all her questions, she had found a home. And I found it very touching, and that's why my I'm also touched again. And actually that home and that way of looking at the world and finding a place from where out, from where you can face any difficulty. She said actually all the difficulties we face individually and also as Orville in a as a collective or as a community are in fact outer realities. We need to face them, we need to take steps, but actually we can only face them if we realize that inside us there is a sweetness. And that is the main task she feels she is trying to work out, to need to center ourselves and to give priority to turn to this inner center. And she called this process, Orville is a laboratory, and it is in need of psychigization. The psyche has to be central place, get a central place. And with all the outer activities, which are crucial, and we need not shrink back from that, can be then done if we are also centered. And that's also with that motivation she is working in her school, especially teaching, education, going into and working with education, from this straight inspiration from the mother, which she felt provided her a home, and which she knows that everybody can find a home in that psychic center. And then we turn to Margarita, who in her personal introduction told us that she was born and raised in Colombia, and actually trained as a chemical engineer, and she did a master's in environmental management, and working as an operation manager with Coca-Cola in Colombia, she really got very stressed. She worked her ass off. And some, this is a nice place. And as luck has it, or as divine grace had it arranged for her, she landed in Auroville as the first place in India. She had never been there. And she sat in the Samadhi and later also in the beginnings. At that time, in 1988, the beginnings of the Matri Mandir, and she heard this voice, stay. And she did. She just stayed. She followed that inspiration. And now she is working. She started working with plants and with compost, different from all the management level Coca-Cola business. And what she learned from that is really to have patience, but also to have endurance and to have persistence. And these three qualities she really needs also to do the work she is engaged with now. Just a beautiful story to tell why she is so passionate about malaria control. It looks so far removed from all this high spiritual quest. But we are going to ask her to tell again the story why malaria control is work which needs to be done and is expressing and realizing also divine and human unity and progress. So her yoga, she feels, is in this environmental work. And she uses that and it gives her silence and concentration. So in these introductions, we have asked Sharadavan and Dipti and Margarita questions to explain what was their ideal. Why did they go? Why did they leave home? What is it that they found in other fields? What are the challenges they face in their work? What is the source of inspiration? Also, what can they give as suggestions for the future? And the main question which we will start asking again also to these women is also what does it mean to you that Oudeville is a laboratory? What is it a laboratory for? What are they doing? What is their inspiration? How do they fare in that laboratory? And with this, I would like to give the mic back to Linda, who will conduct the interview in itself. Technically, it is not very easy to go around with the mic and for you to ask questions. So first we will have a round of an exchange, and then there is time enough to ask questions, and we see how we organize that technically. Sharadavan and Dipti and Margarita, are you ready? Can you hear us?
We are here. We're ready to answer your questions. Yes.
Great. And I give over now to Linda.
What do you see as the major questions and challenges now for Oudeville as a laboratory for human unity building in your particular field of work and or for Oudeville as a whole? And if you could set priorities, what would you first address?
You know, Oudeville is somehow at a stage now where it is moving out of a very spontaneous kind of growth. As it's growing in scale and as the contacts with, we can say, with the global community are becoming more and more significant, something has to happen here in terms of, we can say, maybe internal understanding, coming together to a more concerted kind of action. And if we think about the aim of Oudeville, why Oudeville has been created, that can really only come around the ideals that the mother has set before us. That can be the only basis for our unity. So I consider that the top priority is education. This is natural considering that this is the field I'm working in. But it should be that everybody who comes to Oudeville, whether they come on a casual visit as part of a school outing or whether they've come really in search of something, whether they already know about Mother and Shobindo and the aims and ideals of Oudeville or not, it would be good if each person who comes in contact with Oudeville receives a touch of that very special atmosphere that this place is supposed to manifest and radiate in the world. And I think this is the task that's before us, and we have to concentrate on doing this better and better. And for that, the help of all supporters of Oroville, everybody who thinks that the Charter is something worthwhile, this is a shared responsibility of all of us. If we are connected with that wonderful dream of the Mother, that's something we should be radiating everywhere we go. Would you like to ask this same question to the others?
No.
No? Okay.
No. I have another question. I have another question for you. Thank you. You told earlier in an interview on the CD that Oroville is a laboratory for the concrete realization of actual human unity. What is needed is spiritual education. And could you please tell us a little bit more about this?
Spiritual education?
Well, yes.
When the Mother was asked how the consciousness of human unity can spread throughout the world, she answered, spiritual education. And then she clarified that spiritual education, by that she meant education that was based on the values of the spirit, not on material values, not on intellectual or cultural values, but on the values of the higher consciousness that represents the future that we are moving towards. So that spiritual values are not separated from everyday human life. It's another kind of value system that we use, or we could use, in experiencing and living our lives. And I believe this is the great need of the whole world for the future. It's only by centering ourselves on these higher values that any really fundamental change is going to come about in the world.
Thank you. And can you please hand the microphone to Deepthi now?
Yes, it's with me now, Linda.
The question is, you told us that the yoga of Sri Aurobindo is accessible for all. We can all turn to that source within, despite the fact that you heard the common argument, we are not ready yet. So the question is, you told us that the yoga of Sri Aurobindo is accessible for all. And we can all turn to that source within, despite the fact that you heard the common argument, we are not ready yet. So the question is, what is your point of view in this?
You know, it depends where you situate your argument. If you look at it from the point of view of human nature, one could easily argue that human nature is not ready for yoga because that is the nature of the human spirit. But each of us also has a part of us that is already the spirit. So when one says one is ready, it is if one chooses to find that side of oneself, that true center, and everyone at some point in their life has to come into contact with that. Little children, when you're teenagers, when you're revolting with life, when life gives you a hard time, you touch that point where you turn to another source than the usual intellectual or life or bodily source of energy and action. And I think this yoga can be meaningful if one situates oneself in that source which one already has as the true center of the being. And I don't think it's rocket science. It's just finding your true self, finding sincerity, and then using all your instruments, your mind, your life, and your body to help you do that. Because then you find their true function too. I don't think you have to throw anything away. You just have to switch it into another rhythm. So it's a small little switch. It's a turning on. And once it's turned on, everybody's ready.
Thank you.
I will hand over the microphone to Luz because she wants to ask something.
No, it's not so much asking right now. We have heard now Sradhavan and Deepti speaking of spiritual development, education, finding the psychic being, and it seems so far removed from what Margarita is doing, pest control, working to relieve the world from the larvae of malaria, which grow and kill, and organic farming. And we really would like her to explain what is the link between this spiritual consciousness widening working in and this very mundane, down-to-earth, environmental rehabilitation and malaria control. And when we listened to you, we were very touched with your story about why you were so interested in malaria. And we would like you to share that again with the audience here.
I think I will start with the story before I go with the answers to your questions. I was working in Auroville, in one farm of Auroville, in pest control, specifically in something named T mosquito bug for the cashew. That was around 2001. That year, one old man, 75 years old, from West Bengal, came to Auroville looking for someone to help in the tea gardens, organic and fair trade tea organic gardens, with the badly infestation of the tea mosquito. The same of the cashew is the same for the tea. I went there, and for the first time in my life, I had the very striking tough moment to work with tribals and Indian Nepalese in the tea gardens. They are all below poverty line. You can see, for example, in the tribals areas, three ladies in the house, the grandmother, the daughter, and the granddaughter, living with one sari. That means with one of the three ladies has to go out to work in the garden, the two remain inside the house 100% naked because they don't have the how to fulfill the needs. With these people, I was working in the tea gardens and organic pest control, teaching them, finding the environment. I saw how the nature and the living beings are damaged by the abuse of the chemicals. I saw devastation in Darjeeling area. In 24 hours, more than 8 hectares by one caterpillar. That is amazing what the human beings we are doing with nature. Around 2003, the malaria came to that area. We're talking about the footprints of the sub-Himalaya range. This area was named malaria-prone area, and in particular garden, I was focused, 6,000 people living there, 50% of the garden got malaria, children, women, men, and myself. One night on Saturday, I lost consciousness because of the fever, and the local people brought me to one local public hospital in the middle of nowhere. Around 3 in the morning, probably, I wake up and I saw something that is just unreal. I saw one wing with around 50 beds with only one fan and only one light. I saw rats, I saw cockroaches. The smell was something that I will never forget in my life.
And I saw three people staying in each bed, two ladies and one child in the middle, all with malaria. Only one nurse with one bucket, black one, dirty, with dirty water and with dirty cloth. It was the only medicine to put in the front for the fever of the people. I was the only one in one bed because I was foreigner, because I was white collar. I will never know. I wake up in the middle of that unrealistic scene, and I saw one very young lady beside my bed, probably 13 or 14 years old, look at me fixed in my eyes. The nurse told me that she will die in the early morning, probably 6 or 7 she will die by malaria, because there's not any help for them, no medicines. I told the nurse, help me to transfer the young lady from my bed and stay in my arms. She is speaking in tribal. The nurse translating to me. The last words say, please help me. I don't want to die. And she died. It's the most striking moment, because in this moment you don't see human unity in hundred kilometers. These people has no hope. They have no faith. They only living the life as the life come. Took me time to recover from malaria, and after the people in the garden, they made one big assembly, asked me for help to control the mosquito malaria. Something I tried to explain with all my energy, that is two different kind of mosquito. But they don't understand. They only see people dying and dying and dying of malaria, and has the only side that to allow the government to come with DDT spray. If they are organic fair trade gardens and they spray the DDT, they will lose the organic fair trade, and the garden will be closed, and they will die by starvation. The meaning of this, they had only two options, or die by malaria or die by starvation. And in this crucial moment of my life, I say, with all the energy and all the wisdom of Mother and Sri Aurobindo, I will fully dedicate my energy to try to control insect disease vectors. And today is my work. Part of my work, working now with research centers in Latin America and India, we are working in malaria, dengue, yellow fever, Japanese encephalitis, filariasis, elephantiasis. This is the story.
Thank you for sharing this personal experience. And I like to continue with another question. It's a really touching story you told us. But can you tell us what the striking difference between the ideals and the way you started in oral films so many years ago, and how you live and work there nowadays? And in this difference, you need purely individual change process somehow related to changing conditions in our field or at the world in large.
When I was in the beginning of Auroville in one peaceful farm, only working with trees and animals, and you are dedicated to the silence, concentration, and connection with the divine in that work, you see the pain and you see the how people suffer, but from far, like we see today, all around the world, lots of people suffering. We are with them. We know that we are close to all these calamities, but somehow we are not touched by that calamities. But when you already are in the middle of the calamity and you are already touched and you are suffering, It's very strong, absolutely. I cannot tell you how strong is the presence of Mother to give you this strength, to give you this faith, to give you the clarity and to give you the hope to go and go and go to work for all these people. Today we have more than 500 million people suffering of malaria, and we had 2/5 of the planet suffering of dengue. Epidemic in 100 countries. 800,000 children die by malaria, and it's considered the first death of children in the world. I think that the human unity from the aspect of my work is so strong. And it's the inspiration of my work. It's to see the child and to see the eyes, the children and women, looking at you and say, help and try. I don't know if this is the answer for your question.
Oh, sorry. Yes, this is the answer to my question. Thank you, Margarita. Deepti, I have a question for you. It's also about the challenges and the major questions now for Orofil as a laboratory for human unity building. And in your particular work and for Orofil as a whole, what are your questions and challenges? How do you see that? And if you could set the priorities, what would you address first?
You know, one could answer that question almost differently every time one looked at it. But I tend to echo what Shradhavan says, education. But an education that awakens, because there are educations and educations. There can be an education that addresses itself just to the intellect. And we have seen what that has done to the world. One needs... Mother said something very interesting about Orofil. She said, program, research through experience, a life divine. She always seems to have insisted on the fact that it is life growing and perfecting itself. Somehow the mind was almost secondary to that process. Now, having said that, I want to say something that Shobindo says in The Life Divine, where he says that for an individual to follow the yogic process and just let life grow is perfect in itself if the individual seeks sincerity. But for a collectivity, an intellectual adherence to the idea force is necessary to create a conscious collectivity. So recognizing the importance and the power of the mind in creating the type of Orofil we want, still, I would say an education that is oriented towards the soul, the spirit. The first necessity she placed before the Orovillians is to find out that significant center. So I would say that if you choose to be in Oroville, it's easier to say what you should not do than what you should do, because I think Oroville, the fundamental basis of this experiment is freedom. Freedom to make all the mistakes you want to, freedom to find your own way through your to your path of perfection. But I would say that freedom ought to be limited towards the argument of the soul force, the soul energy. I think if one puts that as the practical aim, the material aim, that everyone in Orofil is supposed to find their psychic being first, if that is the aim, it actually doesn't permit us to do certain things, which I find that we as a collectivity choose to do. So I would say that in answer to your question, one of the ways in which we find truth, one of the pathways to finding truth in this country has been neti neti, not this, not this. I'm taking it out of context, but I would say, I think Orofil should spend some time saying, no, we can't do this. We don't know what we want to do, because it's not an individual who has the answer. It's the collectivity that is consciously supposed to seek the answer, and it transcends every individual viewpoint opinion, but at least we can see all the things we should not be doing. So I would say that is a priority for Auroville, to very quickly find out what it shouldn't do.
Okay, thank you. You had a quote, and I will rephrase it. Be part of things what will be, and the joy of being part of this experiment. Could you elaborate on this?
You know, there's a line in Savitri, right at the end in book 11, where the Supreme Lord tells Savitri that she will experience outer shocks and inner sweetnesses. I can say that from the day I chose to be in Auroville, which was in 1975, not 72. 72, I had Mother's Darshan. From 1975 onwards, I've been in a state of outer shock in some ways, because Auroville hits you hard on the head. It's not a comfortable and an easy place for the instrumental nature to be in, and yet try to hang on to a sincere truth. But it is a delight. It is a sweetness to be part of this endeavor. It is a delight to know that we are in the moment of realization. After so many years, I realized that perhaps the realization may not happen in a single lifetime. It may not happen that we will see a collectivity which is sunlit, beautiful, golden, following the path of sweetness and beauty. But the inner sweetness and the beauty has always been present from the day I had this resounding yes in my being for Sri Aurobindo and Mother.
Thank you.
Actually, I lost track in listening to you, Diti, and I was supposed to look further also and move to Sredhavan, because we are now working, after talking about the laboratory and what work you do, we have now been talking about questions and challenges. And especially Sharavan, you said that the activity you do, and yoga you do, is Savitri Bhavan. And actually this Bhavan, this Savitri Bhavan, is necessary to facilitate the work of opening up to the light. So there is a material condition, a conducive condition for each individual, but also collectively to open up and change consciousness. And you said each and every activity is part of that change of consciousness. So I would like you to elaborate on this each and every activity which is part of that change in consciousness, and how the work in Savitri Bhavan and reading Savitri is part and parcel of this quest.
Well, you know, manifesting the dream of Savitri Bhavan and keeping it going, it's not all sitting and reading Savitri and bathing in the delight of Sri Aurobindo's marvelous words, not only listening to recordings of the mother. There are all kinds of practical things that have to be done. Sometimes quite tough practical things have to be done. And I think that Margarita, in a way, has answered this question. It's when, motivated by your high ideal, whatever is that ideal that Mother has placed before you as your task in life, if you have to face the challenges and somehow you feel that there's that higher force, that deeper will are helping you and moving you forward, this is where the strength comes from. This is where the inspiration comes from to find the solution to problems. And this is where the joy comes from. So it's not a question of one particular work giving it more than another. It is whatever work you are, whatever situation you're placed in, it's feeling connected to the larger whole and to the direction in which evolution is moving. If we can feel that we've been given this marvelous opportunity of perhaps a special focus of forward evolutionary forces to help us, So I don't know whether that answers your question, but that's what I feel like saying just now.
This is exactly what we hoped you would say again, because you have been saying it in many different ways whenever we have encountered you, also here in the Netherlands, and it's very good that you repeat that it is very important to find, on the one hand, conducive conditions to search and find this human unity which is there already, and to change and transform our consciousness to attune to that divine happiness, in a way. And with that also, we would like to move to, now what does it mean if you're working on this? What is very important then for the future? And when we asked that question, then Margarita said, actually what we really need to do in our field is to go on with this research which we're doing, find the connections with people to work, especially focused. And we really would like, Margarita, if you would explain a bit more why you said this, that this deserved strong priority.
Yeah, I feel out of ill, like I fully agree with Dipti. It's not easy to live in Auroville, but it's the only place I know I want to live. I feel that here is one big family, like a Latin American family, Italian family, with a lot of children around, like a lot of uncles and aunties, and one father and one mother, Aurobindo and the mother. In the work I have to do, and I like to do, Auroville has a lack of experience, lack of resources, and also lack of credibility. When you work in the area of the control of the insect disease vectors, nobody knows who is Auroville and who is living in Auroville. When I start to work link with research centers, first within India, and then I went to one of the best tropical disease research centers in Latin America. I tried to link Auroville, and they now recognize Auroville is in this South India, and it's also focused in health to survive. We are talking about the survive in our today climate changes, and you can see what's happened now with the swine flu pandemic, etc. Link Auroville to that specialized research centers is one big task, to bring Auroville the resources of that research centers, to give the Auroville the knowledge. Remember, Auroville is one endless education place. And the third and most important thing, to induce the youth people of Auroville. They are the future of Auroville. Induce them not only in the scientific part, only in the sensitive part, to work in endemic and pandemic and in the surviving of the planet. I think this is the three major areas I am focusing besides of my scientific work.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks to you. Wishing you every blessing for the rest of the program.